Yeah. Good evening, Rabbi Yisrael. It's good to get together. It's good to see you. It's good to be seen. And we wanted to take a look. We wanted to take a look at Pirkei Avos. We began yesterday. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Messina Perek Aleph. And the first Yisrael writes that what's the tachlis, the purpose of this Masechta? That we shall yachshav odin the sogi lashnomas nafsho shiyasik b'torah v'kaimu. A person should not think that to reach shleimus hanefesh, to perfect himself in the way that the Rabbeinu Shalom asks of us, that it suffices to learn the Torah and to fulfill it. Even though he will not pay any attention to his midos. But the tikkun amidos is a necessary part of the Torah itself. And therefore, the Tana turns his attention in this Masechta to tikkun amidos, to elevating ourselves in amidos. Reb Chaim Vital writes in the Shara Kedusha, in his reckoning, unlike the Masechta Yesharim, there is no specific mitzvah in the Torah which dictates having good midos. And he says the reason for that is that the midos are the platform upon which the Taryag Mitzvah stands. So before we even begin to discuss Taryag Mitzvahs, we first have to consider the aspect of character refinement. It's only after the fact that our character is refined can we actually fulfill the Taryag Mitzvahs. So not only is it necessary together with the Torah, but according to Reb Chaim Vital, it's a necessary prerequisite. And that would seem to be the reason that we learn Pirkei Avos at this time of the year. We have the weeks in between Pesach and Shavuos. There are 6 weeks from the completion of Pesach until Shavuos. And we learn in those weeks, the Pirkei Avos, to stress the fact that to prepare for Kabbalah Sator, we had to elevate ourselves in our midos. And therefore, we begin at this time of the year, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai, we turn our focus to Har Sinai, to Kabbalah Sator of Shavuos. And this is the essential preparation that we need to be worthy of receiving the Torah from the Rabbeinu Shalom. So in these weeks of the year, we begin Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai. And once we begin it, we spend the rest of the summer until Rosh Hashanah, following, repeating it a number of times. And the Mishnah begins, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai, and the Rav makes a very incisive comment on Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai. He says, this Masechta does not discuss the mitzvahs of the Torah per se. It doesn't discuss Pesach, it doesn't discuss Yom Tov, it doesn't discuss Shabbos, Matzah, Tefillin, Sukkah, Kashrus, none of those things. It discusses merely ideals about how a person should live. And ideals about how a person should live we find in every culture in the world. All the moral writers, the philosophers wrote, they expressed their opinions about how a person should live appropriately. And therefore, one might think that, well, there are Jewish ethics, there are non-Jewish ethics, but they're all but human conceptions. These are the conceptions of the Jewish people, these are the conceptions of the non-Jewish people, but they're all the struggle of the human mind to engage this world in an ethical and proper fashion. And therefore, the Tana begins, interestingly enough, it doesn't begin the Shas, in the beginning of the Masechta Brachos, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai, Ma'ima Sakar, Neshma Ba'arovim. But it begins Masechta Avos with Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai. The Geshma Yisrael we know comes from Sinai, it's a parasha in the Torah. But needless, we might think, well, these are just the insights, human insights, of very great people, very great Jews that lived across many centuries. And therefore, the Masechta begins Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai to tell us that everything that's in this Masechta, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai, that the Midas and the Musa that's in this Masechta are also a Kabbalah Misina. None of it were human conceptions, not even the conceptions of very great and saintly people, of the greatest Tzaddikim in all the generations. But all of this was Torah Misina. And we'll look a little bit at the Gro. The Gro wrote the most fascinating perush on the Sechta Ovis, and I somehow doubt that there's anyone else other than the Vilna Golem could have written this perush. But every statement in the Sechta Ovis, the Goyen shows us where Chazal derived this ethic from a pasuk. It is not a human conception. It's built on a pasuk, on a grosha that we have in the Torah itself. So nothing in the Sechta Ovis. The Rav says we should all know it's Misina. And the Vilna Goyen displayed for us that it's only Sinai, that every single sentence, every phrase, every midah which is expressed in the Sechta Ovis is learned from a pasuk by Chazal. So we'll look a little bit at it, but this is the entire perush of the Vilna Goyen on the Sechta Ovis, is just to inform us what the pesukim are that this is all based on. Now we're talking about midas. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misina. Now, in actuality, Sinai is the name of a mountain. So, as the Rav points out, there's the Misha Nidlo B'Sinai, the one that revealed himself at our Sinai from the Rebbeinu Shalom himself. But the Mefarshim tell us that why was it written in this fashion, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai? And this was to express the fact that who was the one that received the Torah from the Rebbeinu Shalom? This was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was honored Mikol Adam. He was the greatest honor, and therefore he was worthy of receiving the Torah from the Rabbeinu Shalom. And to underscore the role of Anova, Sinai was the smallest of the mountains that we found in Midbar Sinai. And yeah, and the Chazal tell us that all the larger mountains felt that they were worthy that the Torah should be presented upon them, but the Rabbeinu Shalom chose Sinai. Because the place of Torah is Ba'anova, together with the need of humility. So stressing from the very first, even before we discuss any of the teachings in the Sechta Ovis, to stress the role of Midas, of Anova, of humility, when it comes to accepting the Torah. Umasorah Yeshua, as we know at the very beginning, at the end of Chumash, we have the rise of Yeshua. In Chumash Bamidbar, and at the very beginning of Sefer Yeshua, Yeshua was Canaan. At the end of the time of Yeshua, it's mentioned this Canaan carried forth, this Canaan the Nevi'im, and this Canaan gave the Torah to the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im, Masur, Anshe Knesset HaGdol. The Anshe Knesset HaGdol were a group of 120 elders of Klal Yisrael, and among them were a number of Nevi'im. Those Nevi'im included Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And they were Nevi'im. And they were part of this Anshe Knesset HaGdol. And they bridged the period in between Bayis Rishon to the very beginning of the Bayis Sheni. So here we have a statement issued by them, their perspective at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, the Anshe Knesset HaGdol. And Haim Omru, what do you mean Haim Omru? They taught the entire Torah. So what do we mean, Haim Omru? So one interpretation of Haim Omru was that this was a constant teacher. Everyone observes every Talmud Chacham, every Tzaddik observes the entire Torah. But he has certain aspects of the Torah that he stresses, that he emphasizes more than others. And that's the way we can understand Haim Omru, or Hu HaYoymer, throughout Masechta Ovis. That these were pillars of the teaching. These were the fundamentals upon which they projected the Torah to their Talmidim. So the Anshe Knesset HaGdola taught us three things that the folk were of paramount importance. The first is Havu Mesunim Lebeinu. Mosa means that a person should be patient before he decides the dinner. That this is at two different levels, as the Tiferes Yisrael points out. At one level, it deals with the person himself. Before we make a personal decision, it's having Masuna Medin. Don't rush to judgment. Weigh the factors carefully. Consider, think it over a second time, a third time, and then make a decision. Don't be in a rush to make a decision. having the Sunnah Midin. But this is also, in a larger sense, it's addressed to Dayanim. When a Dayan has to decide a case, he should not be in a rush to judgment. Even if he's had similar cases before, he says, well, you've already articulated the halacha. You've had this shayla many, many times before. But stop. Maybe there's something that's a little bit different about this particular case. Maybe there's an aspect that you has never presented itself before. It changes the face of the situation to such an extent that it's worthy of a different psak. But that's only something that you can come to when you're a person that, when you are a person that is patient, when you are a person, you have the willing to take the time to go through everything carefully, sift through all the facts, and make sure that the decision that you're about to issue is an appropriate decision. And the Vilna Gaon, in fact, points to two different places, one in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, one in the Sifri, which are at the root of this teaching. There was a Gemara in Dav Zayin Amud Beis in Sanhedrin where Bar Kapara says, we know how Milsa that you were taught in having the Sunnah Bedin. So he derives it from a smichas, from an association of two psukim, one at the end of Yisrael, one at the beginning of Mishpatim. And the Gemara says, no sale b'malos al mizbichi. And the next pasuk is Eilah HaMishpatim. So Rashi learns pshat in Sanhedrin, lo sale b'malos means don't be in such a rush getting up. But you go up a little bit more slowly. It means not to rush on the way up. And then it says Eilah HaMishpatim, that we should have no rush to judgment. The Marsha offers a second interpretation, lo sale b'malos, referring to the fact that we should not be egotistical. When it comes to Eilah HaMishpatim, I should toss him with name, and we have to make a decision. We could decide that we're so wise, and so profound, that in 2 seconds we understood exactly what the din is supposed to be. And yet, the Torah admonishes us, don't be so full of ourselves. Maybe there's something here that we haven't grasped. And we need to consider carefully before we make a decision. So this, and then he brings another, the Sifri learns it about Tzavash Shavtechem, that is a special commandment. What was the special commandment to the Dayanim? Shiyun Sunim Medim, that they should be patient before they pass the Medim. So the Vilna Gaon shows us, in fact, there are two different places in the Torah where this is derived, this first of the teachings of Abbas, of Avraham Sunim Medim. Now, some say because of the fact that this was the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and they also suggested Behamidu Tamidim Harber that we should have many, many Tamidim. They lived at the time the Son of Nevuah was lapsed. In the lapse of Nevuah, we're not going to have the greatness that we once had before. And therefore, it's particularly important for two different reasons to have many, many Tamidim. First of all, we need many people then to articulate the halacha because we don't have the paramount knowledge that we had throughout most of Jewish history. Secondly, if we have many Talmidim, maybe we will merit that some of them will be very great and they will be able to step into the gaps in leadership which will emerge because of the absence of the Nevi'im. And therefore, Behamidu Talmidim Harbet. And the Vilna Gaon points to a Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos writes, Baboka Tizra Zarecha, the era of Tanach Yodecha. That Baboka Tizra Zarecha, plant when you're young, the Arab Tanach Yodecha, don't hold back your hand in the old years. And the Gemara in Yevamos writes, Hoyelo Talmidim, the Alduso, Yelo Talmidim is the Kusa. If a person merited having Talmidim when he was younger years, in his older years, he should still seek to have Talmidim as well. And they learned this from this Pasuk. And this is the story of really Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim earlier in life. As we know, we started the Sefiras HaOmer now. And yet, Rabbi Akiva did not succeed with those 24,000 Talmidim. But a few short weeks in between Pesach and Shavuos, one of them succumbed. And Vayo'ilam Shomim, the Gemara says, there was a dearth of Torah. birth of great teachers of Torah. At Shabor Rabbi Akiva, it's Rav Aseinu Shekdorom, until Rabbi Akiva came to the Talmidim, the five Talmidim that he had in the south. So among them, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon ben Yochai. These Talmidim, Heim Shalidu Torah, also Shal. They are the ones that perpetuated Torah on the door after Rabbi Akiva. They had the requisite godless greatness to project their Torah. So that teaching of Avok is Tizra Zarecha, the Erev of Tanach Yodecha. Avok is Zera 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 Zera. That you should learn Zara Zarecha, the Erev of Tanach Yodecha, that had particular fulfillment in the life of Rabbi Akiva. Because his earlier efforts, in fact, failed. The Gemara says, if you're fortunate, perhaps you will succeed in both. But the earlier and the later Talmidim will both be very great. But a person should not come to the conclusion that he's finished everything that he's supposed to do. And I'm always very, very struck. Years back, I had occasion, I was in the Catskill Mountains, and I went to a Sapra Shul, to Dawit Mincha Nar, Mincha. And I was waiting for the tefillah to begin, and I saw a sefer on the table, a collection of letters of the Sapporo, the old title by the Tzadik before the Shulchan. And he had just come back from Chicago. It was the very, very beginning of his time in America, I mean, the very first year that he was here. He had gone to raise money for his nascent yeshiva. And he writes almost plaintively, you may ask, he was over 60 years old at the time, why am I, at my age, undertaking, you know, to start a new tehillah with the shivas? He says, but look, he says, Chazal wrote, Mabok is Razarecha, le'erev ha'tanach yedecha. And Ramayla, I'm under command from Chazal to undertake this. And he created the greatest tehillah that we've known over all the centuries. Or a person that was elderly, a person that had come forth from the ashes of the Holocaust, but driven by the thought of Hamidu Talidim Harbe, that everything that he had done in life until then went up in ashes and flames, and was to start again from scratch, past the age of 60. And yet he felt that this is something that he has to do. The Erev HaTanach Yodecha, this is the Hamidu Talidim Harbe, that we should endeavor to put forth many Talmidim. And this was true of many others that founded the American, the Torah community, in the sense that we know it today. Aaron Kotler ran away from Europe in the flames of the Holocaust, and he came to build the great yeshiva in Lakewood. And this is true of many Gdolim that came. They started anew, not in the youth anymore. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo blessed them with very, very great success. So the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, they saw the lapse of Nevuah, understood the necessity to Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, that we should teach as many Talmidim as possible. And this was also, the Rav says, to teach us that the Tanoim did not agree with the Shita of Rabban Gamliel. The Gemara in Brochus tells us the Rabban Gamliel's view was if a person is not fully sincere and to the fullest extent of Yoru Shamayim, that everything, his whole internals, are as consistent with the sanctity that he strives for outwardly, then he shouldn't come to the yeshiva. Yeshiva is for those that are already outstanding personnel. And yet, Chazal tell us in the Gemara Brochus that their conclusion was otherwise. The conclusion was that the Talmidim want to learn, we should take them in. If it's not Toho Kibaro, if they don't have the full level of sanctity and sincerity that they should have, then we should hope that through the process of their learning Torah and teaching them Torah, they will rise to the appropriate level and they will become appropriate Talmidim. And that's also the meaning of Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. The door should be opened wide, and anyone who wishes to learn should be allowed access to the yeshiva. So So this is Hamidol Talmidim Harbe. And finally, Vasus Yog L'Torah. Vasus Yog L'Torah. Vasus Yog L'Torah means that we should make rabbinic enactments so that we protect the law of the Torah. As we know, we have many, many dinei derabbanan. We have, for example, on Shabbos, we have the din of muktzah. The Gemara on Shabbos, the Chukhdalad on the base, tells us that muktzah is a siyog, was to prevent a tzah, that we shouldn't come to carry on Shabbos, to violate the malacha of a tzah. So the less we'll move around things, the more likely we won't come to carry something we're not supposed to. And in fact, the initial muktzah that we find in Shas, it seems to be one earlier in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, the Shas expresses in Bava Mavlika. But the initial discussions that we find, the major discussions have to do with Nechemya, that when Nechemya came to Yerushalayim to work together with Ezra for the construction of the Bayis Sheni, we found a grave spiritual void. The Yom HaShuk, the market day in Yerushalayim, was on Shabbos. And people used to come from all over and bring their goods into Yerushalayim to conduct the market on Shabbos. Nechemya, being an officer of the realm, had soldiers together with him. And Nechemya said, that's it. The market is closed. And he has the soldiers to enforce it, to make sure that the market would close. But to make sure that goods would not be moved surreptitiously, he enacted muktzah, and in a much more stringent form than we have it, to make sure that only the things which were absolutely necessary to be moved could be carried on Shabbos. So no one could carry things around with some excuse that he needs them here, he needs them there, but he's actually doing it for business purposes. And this is the way that Nechemya and Ezra closed down the market in Yerushalayim on Shabbos and restored Shmiras Shabbos in Yerushalayim at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. So this was the very beginnings of muktzah. Later on, Chazal tell us that they liberalized muktzah to the way we have it today. So this was a suskyog l'Torah, where we shouldn't just keep the halacha itself, but at times we have to make protections for the halacha to make sure that we don't violate the halacha itself. And the Vilna Gaon again points out, I'll only point out one of the two Chazal that he quotes, but in Parshas Nosa we have the Parsha of Nazirus. And in the Parsha of Nazirus, what did Chazal tell us? That for a person sees moral lapses, Yazir Absalom and Ayayim, they should refrain from wine, because drinking wine can lead a person to moral lapses. So essentially what we're concerned with is that the Nozer should not drink wine. But what does the Torah tell us? Mechatanim ad-gag zaglo sotel. You may not eat even the shells, the peels of the grapes. You cannot eat the seeds of the grapes. It's called mishrasano. And you cannot not eat anything which is derived from the grape. Grape jelly is also awesome for him, even though it can't make you drunk. But this is part of the Asus Yog Torah that the Torah made, that when the Nozer, Chazal tell us, comes near the vineyard, we tell him, take a long trip around it. Don't go through the vineyard. Why? Because if you get near the vineyard, you may come to partake of its fruits and ultimately of its wine and violate the vow of Naziris that you made. And this Chazal taught us, we have in the Torah, Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti, that this was a paradigm that the Torah established for us to make zeros, for Chazal to make zeros, to protect the halacha itself, just as the Torah itself protected it by Nozer, by banning not only the wine, but the shells, peels, the pits, and the chol mishras anovim, and anything in which grapes had been soaked, any derivative of grape, even though it's not alcoholic and not wine, is still included in the Iser of Yayin for a Nozer. So we have this notion of Asus Yog Torah. Now the Vilna Gaon writes in Mishlei something that's very fascinating. He says, all the Zeros, which were necessary for all of Klal Yisrael, were enacted by Chazal over the centuries. But there's one area of legislation which was left to us, and that is that each and every one of us has to self-legislate. Each person has to know what his own weaknesses are, what his own deficiencies are, and make legislation for himself, the things that he or she personally needs to stay away from, so as not to violate the halacha. All of Klal Yisrael doesn't need it, but I'm a person that's weak in a particular area. I have a particular tendency to react in certain situations inappropriately, so I have to make sure that I stay out of those type of situations. So this Asus Yog the Torah is not only in a global sense of Asus Yog the Torah, that we all have to have protections for the halach and those who are enacted by Chazal, but each one of us has to self-legislate. We have to know for ourselves what types of situations are a challenge for us and which are not. I had an uncle, Olav Hashalom, my uncle, Pinny, Zechon Olav Rocha, who was from the very first Talmidim of Rav David Leibowitz in the United States. And he was a Maravitz Torah. He was a teacher and a principal throughout his entire life. And had a sterling character. And one thing about him, which was especially striking besides everything else, was he never got angry. No matter what the situation was, and he was a person, he was in public life. He wasn't sitting behind closed doors, but he was deeply involved in life. But he would never react in anger to anything. And my mother, Allah Shalom, told me from his earliest youth, next to where he was, there was trying situations. He was a person that just anger did not relate to him. So a person of that nature could deal with difficult types of situations that most of us can't deal with, because he's not going to lose himself in those situations. Whereas most of us, when we come to certain types of situations, we have to pull away from them because we will not deal with them appropriately. We'll react in a very strong fashion, but in a negative fashion, one that's inconsistent with the leaders that the Baruch wants us to have. And this is true in every area of life. Each person has a strength, so each person has his weaknesses. We have to push our strengths, and we have to strengthen ourselves against our weaknesses. And part of the means of strengthening ourselves is Rasus Yog Yitara, the Gaon writes in Mishnah, is making personal boundaries, which we don't cross, so that we should act always in appropriate fashion. So here we begin. Obvious that Moshe Rabbeinu, who represented Anova, Sinai, which represents Anova, and Midas Tavis, and three teachings of the Anshei Knesset Agdola of how we should proceed, having a Sinai Bedin in public life, in private life, Amidah Talmidim Harbei, and we should teach the Torah as broadly as possible, as many as possible, and finally Asus Yog Torah, both in a global sense for all of Klal Yisrael, and an individual sense for ourselves. This is where we begin in Masechet Avos. May the Rabbeinu Shalom grant that we take the teachings of Masechet Avos appropriately, and we build upon them as the Achana, as the preparation for Kabbalah's Torah. As we saw, that the Kabbalah talk in this fashion, that the time in between Pesach and Shavuot is the time of the Sefiras Omer, a time of self-preparation, a time of elevating ourselves so that we're worthy of receiving the redemption of the Torah. It's been pleasant, Rabbi Yisai. Good evening. As Hashem, tomorrow night at 7:30, we'll have a shiur in the Sefiras Yisharim, but that will be 15 minutes.
Scott, thank you.
Thank you very much.